This is a CBC podcast.
Support for delivery of this podcast comes from the all-new 2008 Cadillac CTS. Be an original. Visit Cadillac.gm.ca.
It's Tuesday, December 4th. Yesterday's opening of the Bali Conference on Climate Change began with a standing ovation for Australia. That country's newly elected government ratified the Kyoto Accord. Currently, the conference then spent the rest of the day trading carbon credits to offset passenger flights made by 10,000 delegates. This is The Current.
Hello, I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. You're listening to The Current. Today, the House of Commons Ethics Committee wants Karl-Heinz Schreiber to step back up and answer questions about his relationship with the former Prime Minister, Brian Mulroney. Yet there are those who question the committee's ability to engage in a serious fact-finding inquiry. Patrick Monahan, the Dean of York University's Osgoode Hall Law School, for one, thinks it could cause more confusion than bring more clarity. And Mr. Schreiber's lawyer, Edward Greenspan, has called the whole thing a political circus and a mockery of justice. And that critique of the way parliamentary committees do their work has been echoed by some of those who have headed these committees themselves. Reg Alcock is a former Liberal MP. He was the chair of the Treasury Board in Paul Martin's government. He also used to chair the Committee on Government Operations and Estimates, and he is in Winnipeg. Good morning.
Good morning, Edward.
What is your concern with the way parliamentary committees are run today?
Well, I have enormous respect for Parliament, and I think Parliament can do the job properly. I don't think they should be investigating things that are essentially political in nature.
And why is that?
Because it comes too close to home. They begin to drive it to make political points. They've reduced the process in House of Commons committees to the level of talk radio. You know, just these drive-by slandering, shooting back and forth at each other has got very little to do with trying to get down to the truth of a particular issue.
Well, as it was originally conceived, what is the function of a parliamentary committee?
Well, they are part of the, one might argue, 50% of the constitutional responsibility of the House of Commons is to scrutinize legislation. And these committees were put together to scrutinize the activities of the government relative to a whole variety of things. There's over 20 of these committees assigned to the various departments. The Harper government, in a desire to look like they were taking ethics more seriously than anybody else, created this committee. And it's called the Standing Committee on Ethics. The problem is, once you create a committee with that name, it's got to look around and find some things that are ethical in nature. And it's unfortunate that they latch on to this one. This is a serious set of charges. It's a serious set of concerns about the activities of a former prime minister. And frankly, it should be conducted in a more judicial way.
So is it this specific committee that you have a problem with, or is it all committees that you see changing?
Oh, no. I have a concern about the topic that they're pursuing. I think House committees, they are enormously powerful. I think they provide an enormously valuable service when they get down and focus on the information that's before them. I've chaired committees, I've chaired three of them during my time in Parliament. Members are not only incredibly smart and bring a lot to the table, when they get focused on the subject, it is absolutely astounding what can happen in them.
And yet, there are those who say that, I mean, these same committees, as you start to examine things, it brings in personalities, it brings in politics. So how do you avoid damaging someone's reputation and still ask sensitive and important questions so the public gets a better idea of what's going on behind the scenes?
Well, I mean, that is why I would argue that the House should not be investigating things that are at their roots political in nature. For example, when I was the chair of the Standing Committee on Government Operations, we came upon some concerns about the former Privacy Commissioner. Because they involved an individual, we immediately went in camera, and we did not deal with those things in a public way. And I worked hard to maintain a consensus among all the parties in the House, and we produced a unanimous report. It's possible to do that if your goal is to get to the truth of the matter or get down into, at least deep enough into details that truth is found somewhere in there.
You're talking about the case of Mr. Radwanski, of course.
Yes.
Which was a huge scandal.
Yes.
But it's still got a public airing.
Yes, but there was not a public airing until the members of the House of Commons serving on that committee with full support of counsel, as was Mr. Radwanski, had come to a conclusion that there was indeed a serious issue here. Now, remember, Mr. Radwanski was also an officer of the House, so there was, in many ways, no one else that could conduct such a review. But none of that became public until there had been a complete hearing in private and a finding.
You were called as a witness to the Public Accounts Committee looking into the RCMP's pension fund scandal. What was that experience like?
Well, I mean, I enjoy going before committee. I don't mind mixing it up with the other members. But I just thought when you read the discussions about why I was called or why Anne McClellan was called, the item that they were investigating is an important item, the potential abuse of the RCMP pension funds. But their rationale for calling me was because the other side had said they wanted to call somebody else. And they said, well, you call him, we're going to call this guy. Well, I mean, the written record, my presence there added nothing to the debate. The written record showed exactly what my role had been. And so the only reason for calling me was in some attempt to embarrass the sitting Liberals, which didn't work in the end. I thought it was an enormous waste of time and energy on everybody's part.
Well, is this really then about the fact that we have a minority government and so some of the real nitty-gritty of politics is getting done in committees?
I think that in part the fact that we're in a minority, I think it's as much influenced though by Mr. Harper and his clerk's disregard of the House of Commons, period. That, you know, a bad government gets a bad house, and the two things are inextricably bound together, and if he showed a little more respect for Parliament, a little more respect for the process, he might get a more respectful process.
When you say disregard for the House of Commons, you're talking about question period?
No, I'm talking about the attempt to run the Government of Canada, which is the largest, most complex organization in the country, off of one desk. The Prime Minister and his clerk cannot run the entire government. So they deal with Parliament by coming in with a series of threats, you know, you pass this or else, you do that or else, and they get a very predictable response from.
Well, I want to sort of take that one step further. If we look at both the government you served in and Mr. Harper's government, it becomes increasingly difficult to get cabinet ministers to talk to the media about legitimate issues of accountability. And so the public committees, the committees of Parliament, become the only place where they can be questioned. Do you think that that somehow plays into it as well?
I'm not certain about the premise of your question in terms of the government that I served in. I certainly appeared before committee many times. In fact, was eager to do so. And I never felt a single time withheld from speaking. The inability of ministers under the Harper government to speak on the simplest things or to represent their areas on the simplest issues is extraordinary. I've never seen it before.
But I'm talking about the unwillingness of government officials to speak on the record to the media about issues of accountability, and so these issues fester. They don't get an airing anywhere until they get to committee, and then sometimes it becomes a free-for-all.
Yeah, well, I mean, that may be the case since 2006. It's not an experience that I recall. I would agree that if people are not feeling free to speak, that would increase the tension. However, at the same time, I mean, these committees have always, they have huge powers. They have a huge ability to exercise authority and to compel people to come before them and speak. So I can't imagine that that they're having any problem with getting cabinet ministers forward. I can't imagine a scenario where that would be the case.
Well, Mr. Schreiber's lawyer, Edward Greenspan, says the parliamentary committee looking into the Schreiber-Mulroney affair now is unfair, not about justice at all. Is he right?
Yeah, I would agree with him. I don't think, when the issues come as close as they do, the Schreiber affair strikes at the heart of the political side of government. And I don't think the political side of government should be investigating itself.
And so what should happen? Should this go straight to an inquiry?
Absolutely. It should be an independent inquiry. I mean, I think what Prime Minister Martin did on the sponsorship issue, which was to separate it from himself and from the government immediately and put it in the hands of a competent judge, was in the end the ethically right thing to do.
Reg Alcock, thanks for speaking with me this morning.
Anytime, Anna Marie.
Reg Alcock was chair of the Treasury Board in Paul Martin's cabinet. He's a former Liberal MP. He also chaired the Committee on Government Operations and Estimates. He spoke to us today from Winnipeg. Now, as he mentioned, he was called as a witness to the Public Accounts Committee when it was looking into allegations around the RCMP pension plan. Former RCMP Commissioner Giuliano Zaccardelli was also a witness at those hearings. This is what he had to say about the process.
The committee that I've appeared before are totally partisan and political. It appears that every time I've appeared before a committee, they start with a preconceived position. They call certain witnesses that reinforce that position or support their position, and then they call witnesses before them that they want to accuse or abuse and proceed in that direction. And the Public Accounts Committee that investigated or looked into the RCMP pension issue is a perfect example of that. They called a number of witnesses who made a number of serious allegations dealing with criminal misconduct and a cover-up by senior members of the RCMP. The fact is that none of that has been true, and even Mr. Brown, who did a report, found that there was no cover-up. Yet, before anybody was allowed to even respond to those serious allegations that were made, the committee had already arrived at a conclusion. The committee system simply does not work because it violates every single principle of any fundamental fairness in the process. They actually operate like a kangaroo court. We need to bring back fairness into the system because, in effect, they are destroying people's lives and people's careers.
Former RCMP Commissioner Giuliano Zaccardelli, it was his appearance before another committee, the Public Safety Committee, in which he contradicted himself on when he knew what about Meher Arar. That contradiction led to Mr. Zaccardelli's resignation. This is The Current on CBC Radio 1 and on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. Not all committee business grabs headlines like those before which Mr. Zaccardelli appeared, but it doesn't mean committees are not busy. In fact, while everyone is watching Karl-Heinz Schreiber's appearance at the Ethics Committee today, 22 other parliamentary committees will be considering issues from childhood obesity to trade with South Korea. And many MPs say it's that kind of quiet behind-the-scenes work that makes parliamentary committees valuable. John Godfrey is a Liberal MP. He sat at the Martin Cabinet as Minister of State for Infrastructure and Communities when Paul Martin was Prime Minister. He'll be attending a meeting of the Standing Committee on Environment and Sustainable Development later today, and he's in Ottawa. Good morning.
Good morning.
What do you make of Giuliano Zaccardelli's complaints about parliamentary committees?
Well, I think that he's wrong. I actually think my friend Reg Alcock's wrong, too. I think that it's a bit much to say, gee, parliamentary committees shouldn't consider political things. The point is that a parliamentary committee is a miniature representation of the House of Commons. It does see things through a political lens, and that's legitimate. It's a bit like accusing the regular court system of being adversarial. That's the point. That's the way it functions. That's how the truth comes out.
So Karl-Heinz Schreiber's lawyer, Edward Greenspan, has complained that the parliamentary committee process is unfair because it doesn't allow for standard legal representation. What do you think of that?
Well, the nature of the problem that the committee's facing is that it's a political problem. That is, no one has yet accused anybody of a criminal activity concerning the Mulrooney-Schreiber affair. What we do know is that there's some things that are quite disturbing for the average person that need to be clarified. We also know that we can't wait around to get some clarity on this matter until June or whenever it is that the judicial inquiry will begin. And so it's a perfectly legitimate activity to try and get the facts out in an early fashion, which this committee is doing. I think they're doing it in a way which is respectful. I sat in on the first session of the Ethics Committee. I was just a visitor. I was struck by the fact that people comported themselves in an appropriate fashion. There wasn't anything disrespectful. They behaved sensibly. They thought that Mr. Schreiber should go get his papers. They laid out a line of questions which would, even if he didn't answer them now, would allow him to look at his papers to get the answers which we hope will be coming out today. And I found that that all of the things that were supposed to go wrong with the committee didn't, that they were it was a perfectly legitimate exercise to try and find the truth about a political matter, which was not a judicial matter as of yet.
And yet, most of the reporting on Mr. Schreiber's appearance before that committee made the point that, depending on the part, everybody asked questions that allowed them to score points for their own political party or against another. That there was partisan questioning going on there.
Well, of course, but that, but again, in any of these situations, whether it's a judicial inquiry, whether it's a process of the sort that Lord Black went through in Chicago, there is a pro and a con, and the people who have to adjudicate sit on the sidelines and decide which it is. The committee, to some extent, represents the views of Canadians, which are divided up on partisan grounds. And it was perfectly legitimate for the Conservatives to try and put some distance between Mr. Schreiber and their government. And it was perfectly legitimate for the other parties to try and see whether there were connections. And out of that, the committee itself will come to some conclusions, but so will Canadians. Because in a way, it's a bit like a jury system in which the MPs represent average Canadians who voted for them in the first place. So I think it's naive to suggest that there is some other godlike process that would necessarily produce a better result, providing that people treat the witnesses with respect and providing that the thing is run with decorum, which it was.
Is there a time that the work of a committee would be better served by a nonpartisan inquiry run by a judge?
Oh, I think in some matters, and eventually what may happen is that the committee discovers a number of things which then cannot be examined in detail by the committee itself, that it needs to turn the work over to somebody else. I don't think it's inconsistent to have both processes, a first look at it by the elected representatives on a political matter. After all, we're in the political business. And then, if needs be, to turn it over to an inquiry for a more thorough examination. Both are perfectly legitimate and can live side by each. And in some cases, of course, you get into things which are of a highly technical nature. I don't know, the tainted blood scandal, for example, where there's technicalities of who knew what when and what are the actual scientific issues and all of that sort of thing. But I think that the two are not incompatible.
Mm, and often when you get into the nitty-gritty and the detail, that's when the reporters don't report some of the work. What is the value of parliamentary committees, in your view, then, overall?
Well, I think generally they perform a huge number of services. One of them is to cast a second and third pair of eyes on a piece of legislation. Don't forget, they're not just parliamentary committees of the House of Commons. They're also ones of the Senate. So that the combination of different people asking a set of questions over a period of time means that the chances of passing a bad piece of legislation are reduced simply because, because we've had more people looking at it and because we've had longer time to think about it. I mean, if you think of the legislation we brought in after 9/11, the security legislation, well, it took the combination of time and several sets of committees looking at that legislation to calm everybody down so that we didn't go overboard and produce a piece of draconian legislation which over-limited the rights of Canadians. And so that Parliament performs that function, I think, highly effectively. Or this afternoon in the Environment Committee, we're going to be looking at the estimates, and we're going to use that as an occasion to ask some pretty tough questions about why there were cuts to things like the Canadian Wildlife Service, for instance. What good did that do? Did the minister actually know it was happening? And that sort of scrutiny work is absolutely invaluable. That's where committees are at their best.
And that kind of work is really accountability, isn't it?
Absolutely. And indeed, the Accountability Act itself, which was much beloved by the Conservative government, had all sorts of problems and mistakes with it. The number of amendments that had to be brought forward by both the House Committee and the Senate Committee to make it to eliminate all kinds of inconsistencies was huge. And it takes that kind of detailed scut work, if you like, to get legislation right.
But have the committees changed in your years in politics?
I think that the committees reflect the committees are a miniature reflection of the composition of the House itself. That is to say that their proportions, the membership, is composed exactly on the same proportionate basis as the House. So when you have a minority parliament, you have minority committees, which means that in the case of any committee, most committees today, that if the three opposition parties decide they don't like something or they want to rewrite something, as we did the government's so-called Clean Air Act, the government has to listen. But that is the nature of minority parliament.
John Godfrey, thanks for weighing in on this this morning.
You're welcome.
John Godfrey is a Liberal MP from Toronto. He's a member of the Standing Committee on the Environment and Sustainable Development. And he spoke to us from Ottawa this morning. Well, that's all we have for this podcast. You can listen to The Current weekday mornings on CBC Radio 1 right after the 8:30 news, as well as on Sirius Satellite Radio 137. To find out more about our program, visit cbc.ca/thecurrent. If you have any thoughts on what you're hearing on The Current, share them with us. Send us your comments. You can email us at thecurrent, all one word, thecurrent@cbc.ca. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 500, Station A, Toronto, M5W1E6. Or call us collect 1-877-287-7366. To subscribe to other great CBC Radio podcasts, check out cbc.ca/podcasting. Thanks for listening. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti.
For more on all of our CBC podcasts, head to cbc.ca/podcasting.